T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul Douglas. Hello, Minnesota. Thank you for tuning in. It's Thursday. Jordana is off. She will be back on Monday. She's hanging out somewhere in New Hampshire, camping. Well, boy, I would pay to see a video of Jordana camping. Yes, I would. Anyway, she's going to be back on Monday. Coming up later this hour, J. Drake Hamilton and Don Shelby. You remembered the Donald. He will be in talking about all kinds of stuff at 5 o'clock. So looking forward to that. In the meantime, yeah, that was a tough one. The Twins lost a heartbreaker to the Marlins in the 12th. Final score 5-4. However, Byron Buxton's two-run double in the fourth inning gave the Twins a 3-1 lead. Here is today's Good Hands play of the game.
Hit down the left field line, and that ball going to stay fair. It just is fair. Sano's going to score. They're going to send Adrianza around third. Buxton into second. Throw to the plate, not in time. Two RBIs for the Minnesota Twins.
And that was today's Good Hands play of the game, brought to you by Allstate. Are you in good hands? Hopefully we will be in good hands tomorrow as the Twins take on the Royals. Joe Biden was not in good hands. Did you catch any of the debate last night? It was interesting. And look, there's no way I can compress a nearly three-hour debate into 10 minutes. But I wanted to give you some of the highlights, lowlights, depending on your point of view. It was interesting. It was intriguing. And I think a few personalities kind of broke through the clutter. Specifically, Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii. Very impressive, as was Cory Booker. So it remains to be seen if Joe Biden is going to be able to hang on to the front-runner status. Kamala Harris also took some shots. It seems like a lot of the other candidates were taking shots at Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. At times, it looked more like a roast than a debate. Joe Biden got 19 minutes of speaking time. He was called on 29 times. Kamala Harris, 14 minutes of speaking time, called on 18 times, and then it dropped down. Poor Andrew Yang, the entrepreneur, got 4 minutes, but he made those 4 minutes count, as I think you may agree, coming up in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, Joe Biden had a tough first debate. This time around, the pundits seemed to think that he did better, although it was unsteady at times. He seemed confused at times. Vice President Biden faced relentless attacks on his Senate record on race and criminal justice, immigration, health care, deportations, and his commitment to women's rights.
Hit down the left field line, and that ball going to stay fair.
Everybody's talking about how terrible I am on these issues. Barack Obama knew exactly who I was. He had 10 lawyers do a background check on everything about me and civil rights and civil liberties, and he chose me, and he said it was the best decision he made.
You didn't know Joe Biden was on the Twins. I had no idea he was a runner.
You asked if I watched the debate, and it's clear that I was watching the Twins.
You were
not
watching
the debate.
You recorded the Twins.
That's the highlight I had ready.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's fine. Hey, can't get enough Twins on this station. Kamala Harris, former Attorney General of California, now a U.S. Senator, said that Robert Mueller outlined 10 clear instances of obstruction of justice in his report that cannot be ignored.
There are 10 clear incidents of obstruction of justice by this president, and he needs to be held accountable. I've seen people go to prison for far less.
But again, to me, and I watched the entire debate, again, just one guy's opinion, I don't think she was as strong as she was the first debate. By the way, there are a total of 12 scheduled debates. The next round, the third round of debates for the Democrats, is in September. And here's the deal. The Democratic National Committee requires candidates to both reach 2% in four different DNC-approved polls, and they also have to obtain at least 130,000 donors from 40 states. So that's going to whittle down the field even more. You know, I Andrew Yang's message resonated with me. I've been talking about disruption. We have no idea what's coming with automation and robotics and artificial intelligence. Most of the traditional jobs that we have will be going away. There will be new jobs, new opportunities. But this is going to require massive, massive retraining. A tidal wave of disruption is coming. Again, I thought he was good. Andrew Yang was good at talking about the disruptive effects of artificial intelligence on jobs like trucking. He devoted strong closing remarks to his signature proposal to give every American $1,000 a month. He said we need to be laser focused on solving the real challenges of today, like the fact that most common jobs in America may not exist in a decade, or that most Americans cannot pay their bills. He talked about his immigrant father securing more than 65 patents. His opening statement line about how he was the most opposite of Trump. He said, "I'm an Asian man who likes math." was fairly well received in the Fox Theater in Detroit. And then he said something interesting. He said, "You know what the talking heads couldn't stop talking about after the last debate? It's not the fact that I'm somehow number four on the stage in national polling. It was the fact that I wasn't wearing a tie. Instead of automation and our future, including the fact we automated away 4 million manufacturing jobs, hundreds of thousands right here in Michigan." And then he talked about the circus-like spectacles that political debates have become.
"We're up here with makeup on our faces and our rehearsed attack lines, playing roles in this reality TV show. It's one reason why we elected a reality TV star as our president."
And the genius of President Trump, love him, hate him, tolerate him, is that the cameras couldn't stay off President Trump. Well, candidate Trump back in 2015 and 2016. He had this gift, this ability to keep the media focused on him to the detriment of the Marco Rubios and the Jeb Bushes of the world. The media was infatuated with Donald Trump. So who among the Democrats, if any, have that kind of star power? And I would argue, too, that The Apprentice, you know, having that experience, having that television experience was a huge, huge advantage for the president in getting him to break through and be able to sustain that lead and become president. Julian Castro, former housing secretary, had this to say.
"I don't want us to go backward. We're not going back to the past. We're not going back where we came from. We're going to move forward. We're going to make America better than it's ever been."
Again, Tulsi Gabbard, a congresswoman from Hawaii. I thought she was very impressive, very photogenic, very, very articulate. And she took on Kamala Harris repeatedly, as well as Joe Biden. So we'll see what happens. But I have a hunch that she is going to be a rising star and she will probably make the cut and head to the next level. Here is what Congresswoman Gabbard had to say.
"Oh, first of all, this is personal. You can imagine I grew up in Hawaii, which is the most remote island chain in the world. So for us, growing up there, protecting our environment was not a political issue. It's a way of life. It's part of our culture. It's part of who we are."
And she was talking about climate change, and there was a fair amount of time and attention from all the candidates on climate change, led by Jay Inslee, the governor of the state of Washington. And then there was another rising star, former Newark mayor and New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. Here's what he had to say.
The person that's enjoying this debate most right now is Donald Trump, as we pit Democrats against each other while he is working right now to take away Americans' health care.
And I think they went after the president nearly as much as they went after each other. At least that was my impression. So, again, and there were a few outbreaks, a few outbursts. Some people in the audience got rowdy and had to be led out of the auditorium. But, again, it is amazing. And poor Joe Biden, you know, he took a lot of slings and arrows. Say what you will about Vice President Biden, but the general consensus among the pundits is that he did okay, better than the last time around. But again, whether he is the front runner, whether he can become the Democratic nominee, we shall see. I think he's going to have a lot of competition. That was obvious last night. President Trump commented on the, quote, very low ratings for the Democratic debate last night. And, quote, they're desperate for Trump. And, he had a point. On Tuesday, CNN drew about 8.7 million viewers on TV and another 500,000 streaming for a total of 9.2 million. The Democrats have not generated the kind of viewership that the Trump-powered GOP debates did. So, again, CNN all told 9.2 million. Trump's first debate scored 24 million viewers on Fox. The second debate had 23 million on CNN. So can the Democrats keep the interest level up? What is going to happen next? Your guess is as good as mine. But the next series of debates coming up in September. And again, 5 o'clock hour, curious to get Mr. Shelby's take on the state of politics and whether Senator Klobuchar can make the cut and get to the next level and show up at the next debates in September. We shall see. Coming up, I want you to sit down if you're not already seated, because this next story is, I think it's unbelievable. And people say, well, miracles don't exist. I would beg to differ. This woman who is coming up after the break is a walking, talking miracle. She happens to be a friend, somebody I respect professionally. What she went through earlier this year during the polar vortex, it's amazing she's alive. I want you to hear from J. Drake Hamilton. She's up next. Paul Douglas here. Jordana is back Monday. Shaletta Brundage is going to be on tomorrow, co-hosting. I'm going to be out east with Folker, with my dad, who's turning 89. He's got some crazy stories, again, about the end of World War II and all of the coincidences that allowed him to come from bombed-out, war-ravaged Germany and come to the United States to start over, start a new life here in America. So Dad always has good stories. We encourage you to tune into that at 4:10 tomorrow. Yesterday, we had Senator Coleman on, talking about his near-death experience, boat accident, where literally he had to jump off the boat to avoid being hit head-on by another boater that wasn't paying attention. And then, of course, his recent lung surgery, cancer spotted in his lungs. They took out a quarter of his lung at the Mayo Clinic. He's doing great. He's resilient. He's still standing. He's defiant. He's got a great prognosis, too. And that leads me to today's guest, J. Drake Hamilton, a friend of mine for a long time. Jay, I am so glad to see you healthy, happy, smiling after what you went through earlier this year.
Paul, you're probably looking at the happiest person you've ever seen.
Yes. And you got to stick around for a couple of minutes and hear Jay's story. I mean, it is another poignant reminder that truly in the blink of an eye, your life can change, right?
Yes, I had no expectation that I would fall. No doubt that I would be stable and happy the rest of my life, and I was wrong.
You were wrong. So please stick around for that. J. Drake Hamilton from Fresh Energy has an amazing story. That's coming up in just a minute or so. 4:30 now, that's Wicks and Jewelers time. Visit the custom jewelry experts at Wicks and Jewelers for exquisite jewelry, handcrafted in-house, designed exclusively for you. Don Shelby coming in for the 5 o'clock hour. Please tune in for that, see what kind of mischief the Shelbs is getting into these days. It's always good talking to Don. He always has an opinion. He makes you think. At least he has made me think from time to time, and it hurts my head when I think too much. I'm here with J. Drake Hamilton, a friend of mine who works at Fresh Energy, a nonprofit.
We work to transition Minnesota's economy to clean energy.
Cleaner energy, all Minnesotans
benefit from that.
Exactly. And someday I want to talk to you about the trends and the return on investment. You know, there's still skeptics out there, and it's good to be skeptical about solar and wind and energy storage and hydro and all these other things. But
there's a lot of clear good news to talk about there.
Absolutely. And the best news is that you're here, you're healthy. Go back to the polar vortex. February 4th, we had that rain falling on bitterly cold ground. It produced glazed ice. I remember going sideways down my driveway, and a lot of people fell. A lot of people were stuck. But
yes,
take listeners back to that day and what happened to you, Jay.
Monday, February 4th, we were at the juxtaposition of a polar vortex overcoming uncommonly unseasonable thaws for most of January.
Right.
So we'd had no snow in our yard or the backyard or the back sidewalk. The rain came and the rain froze right away. And it was slick as anything. It was dangerous weather all over the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. And the probability of it had increased because of climate change.
How so? The fact that it was raining.
Yes.
In early February in Minnesota, which is a little bizarre. It's happened before.
Yes, but for much of January, we had unseasonable warm weather.
Yeah, it was in the 40s.
And now it was getting very cold again.
Yeah.
And this danger made me, in part, a climate victim. So I was walking out to my garage, something I never expected would happen to me. I fell down. I fell on my head. And I was immediately unconscious in the cold. My neighbors found me.
You were knocked out, right?
I was completely knocked out because I had struck the pavement so hard with my head that the brain had sloshed over to the other side and reverberated a couple of times and did very severe brain damage to me.
And this is what amazes me about ice. I mean, truly in the blink of an eye.
Yes.
And you have no time sometimes to brace yourself, to get your hands down to try to brace your fall and avoid hitting your head.
There was no softer snow to fall on, you know? So they got me to the ER quickly. Get this. I was taken to the region's ER, got admitted, but then they closed the emergency room because they had the largest population that they'd ever had in it before. And hospital after hospital was reporting the same thing.
So other people falling on ice.
Other people were falling.
And being injured, seriously
and in
injured.
Car accidents.
Right.
Innumerable people. And what they told me was that the ER was having to divert future ambulances to look and find another hospital to go to. Can you imagine that? But I spent 2 months in that hospital, including 16 days in a coma. The doctors wanted to keep me in a coma because there was such pressure fluctuation in my brain. They found it to be life-threatening. And so what happened was I had a high-class, wonderful medical team of 13 people, including my neurosurgeon, who that same afternoon that I arrived did surgery and cleaned up my brain. And I have completely recovered now. It is a mystery and astonishing work that my medical team cannot explain entirely how it happened.
You said your brain has rewired itself?
Yes, my neurosurgeon told me that. My brain has rewired itself. So the brains in a lot of people, especially younger people, can find different pathways of communicating information from one part of a brain to the other. So my brain scan now shows zero damage. And so it's a full recovery. I made the recovery in 85 days. I went back to work full time. And that usually takes for most people to have this kind of traumatic brain injury. They become normal in 1 year or 2 years or 5 years. But I'm back now, and I'm great to be here. Very glad.
Well, your husband, Patrick Hamilton, at the Science Museum, did an amazing job of updating friends and family with the Caring Bridge, the updates.
Yes, and we reached out to about 44,000 people. So people you had were compelled by this story of recovery.
You had a lot of people praying for you, and certainly none of us can discount. You know, science is terrific, and we have amazing medicine, especially in this state, amazing doctors, surgeons, hospitals. Take none of that for granted. But on top of that, sometimes there are mysterious things that happen. And I would argue that you, like Norm Coleman, you've got a few guardian angels up there keeping an eye on you.
Yes, definitely. And I was emboldened by all of the people in Minnesota and all over the world who were writing in notes to me and forcing me to get better immediately, and I did.
Have you gone back now and read some of those posts? I mean, that has to be tough, right? Because I know you were it seemed like it was touch and go there for a while.
Yeah, for 2 weeks, it wasn't certain whether I would at all recover. And that I'm back now on my feet, stronger than ever, more optimistic than ever, and motivated than ever before to go forward with my work.
New lease on life. I mean, it's almost like another chapter, right? And maybe a different outlook?
Yes, I am over the top optimistic, and I see in the program I work in, the clean energy transformation of the whole state of Minnesota, there are short-term solutions to our energy problems.
We need more optimists everywhere. There are a lot of people who are not optimistic right now about much of anything.
Yeah. Well, it helps for me that I saw the prospect of death. And I said, no, I'm going to back from the brink now.
You came right up to the precipice. I mean, your toes were dangling over the edge. Do you remember any of that, or is it all just sort of a blur?
I never will remember it, but my doctors tell me how severe it was. And I am chilled by it. I couldn't even really read what my husband had written about, telling my family and friends about this for the first 2 weeks because it was so uncertain and no one at the hospital was giving him a clear answer.
They had to actually, did they have to remove parts of your skull?
No.
They did not.
Thank goodness.
Okay, good.
Thank goodness. But they had to go into my skull for about 4 or 5 hours.
To relieve the pressure.
Yes. And they were successful.
So, okay, it is a miracle. Call it what you will, but the fact that you're here and you've made a complete recovery, all of your senses are back. Your brain is as I remember it. You're just as sharp and just as funny and witty. What advice would you have for other people? And I know that nothing strikes fear in the heart of Minnesotans more than that glazed ice. You know, snow is one thing. We can deal with snow. And we like snow. Ice is a totally different ballgame. Mark Seely, who you know, the climate scientist, climatologist, and meteorologist, good friend of mine, he said that we've seen 4 times more ice since the turn of the century in the Twin Cities. It's gone up 4x. I mean, we're seeing more midwinter rain and ice than we did 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago. So we have to find new ways, better ways to get around even on those icy mornings. And it's terrifying. I mean, commuting, walking. What do? Do you just stay home?
So everyone will run statistically a greater risk of falling. And for ice, you need to avoid it whenever you can. You need to wear things like the tracks.
You got the yak tracks too?
Yes, and they essentially, they're modified crampons that you wear. But you should try to avoid ice whenever you can. And don't go out when you don't need to, if it's a very severe day like February 4th was. Everyone's at risk of this, and probably no one knows the fragility of their brain, which you think it's, you know, we all think we have kind of hard heads, and we do. But if you fall just right on your head, you can do a traumatic brain incident that can trouble you for the rest of your life. Fortunately, I have escaped that, but I got very lucky too.
You got very lucky. You had amazing care.
Yes.
You had great doctors, great specialists. Mm-hmm. This happened quickly, right? So, I mean, your neighbors, the fact that your neighbors saw you fall mm-hmm. and immediately called 911, the ambulance came out, all these things, you know, God forbid if you were in the back of the house and you're lying there for a couple of hours mm-hmm. until somebody finds you. I mean, life is fragile, and it amazes me. Blink of an eye, your life can change.
Yes, and you have to be prepared for this, and you need to be really cognizant of what is happening with the weather around you. Watch your meteorologist.
You pressure's on. Are you putting more pressure on me?
Yeah. Yes.
Glaze ice, freezing rain, you can have it. No, thank you. I know in the South that's in the winter, the South tends to get a lot more ice, and it's a gong show trying to get around.
But I want to end people with saying that I have been celebrating my recovery, and the recovery has made me all the more focused on solving the problems with our energy use, especially because Minnesota has shown we have a wonderful array of solutions, and we need to bring them to all parts of Minnesota. The clean energy, wind, solar, energy efficiency, energy storage, and we need to bring those into Minnesota to build our economy.
Don't we have the most solar gardens in the nation?
We do.
Yeah.
And solar, just in 2018, increased 47%. And our biggest utility in Minnesota has just announced in their integrated resource plan that they're going to increase the solar in their portfolio by 3,000 megawatts.
Wow.
Three times what it is today.
This is XL.
Yes. And this is the favorite story I have. They're going to close down their last two coal plants because they have substitutes that are more cheaper than them. So they'll close down the coal plant in Oak Park Heights in 2028 and its biggest plant in Becker, Minnesota in 2030 and save everyone money by doing that. That's great news.
Can the subsidies go away at some point? I mean, for everything. And just let, because that's one of the criticisms I hear is, it wouldn't be doing that well if it wasn't subsidized.
The solar tax credits end at the end of this year and then suddenly start going down to zero in the next couple of years. Yeah.
Right. And I point out, two fossil fuels have been getting subsidies for over a century. So, you know,
every way of producing energy has gotten subsidies.
Yeah, let's do away with all subsidies. Yeah. Let the market pick the winners. I mean, I like that idea.
Yes.
J. Drake Hamilton, you are a breath of fresh air, and I'm so relieved and happy for you and your husband and all of us that you're back up on your feet and doing great. And praise God for miracles.
Thank you to all my friends and people who didn't even know me, who wrote in to wish me well. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. We'll keep in touch.
All right.
In the meantime, it is 4:49. All right. Henry Lake and his sports musings are brought to you by Giants Ridge. Henry Lake, I felt bad for Sam Dyson. Talk about a rough first outing.
Yeah, you know, you always want to leave a good first impression, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, especially when you're with the, you know, you're with the new gal or, you know.
Yep, put your best foot forward, yeah. Oh, well.
So, yeah, it was a rough day at the office for him. I mean, it couldn't have went any worse, to be honest with you. I mean, to watch the game play out the way that it did and the fact that the Twins were poised to win, Michael Pineda had a phenomenal game. He pitched extremely well, and they had only given up one run the entire way. And then you get to the ninth inning, and you have a 3-run lead, and you cannot get anybody out. That was a very tough one for not just Dyson, but the Twins overall as a team coming back home. I know it's good to come back home to Target Field and the company confines there, but bottom line, that was a tough one to take on the chin today.
Yeah, it was. Well, these things happen. I mean, Byron Buxton had a great double there that made the score 3-1. Really thought they had this thing nailed, you know, by the top of the ninth, they're up 4-1.
Well, when the question is, you know, how good are you going to be with your bullpen, and then you acquire a couple of arms, and Sergio Romo pitched again today, and he looked really good. Mm-hmm. Yet again, it just, you know, Dyson just didn't get it done. It's not rocket science. He went in there today, did not have a good ninth inning, and you know, thankfully Taylor Rogers is amazing, although. You know, he was able to strike out the side, but clearly he gave up the single that scored the 2 runs. But it wasn't his fault today. It was all on Dyson.
Henry, DJ here. Another concern was that the Twins, they got the 4 runs early, and then they couldn't even get a hit after the 7th inning. So 5 innings of baseball all the way to the 12th without a hit. Is that as concerning to you as another bullpen collapse for the Twins? Or is that just, you know, hitting is streaky?
No, that's just the way that baseball is. They've scored so many runs, you know, over the course of the last week. I mean, they scored a ton of runs in Chicago. They scored a ton of runs in a series that they lost against the Yankees. And then they scored some runs against the Marlins, although in the first game they didn't score that many runs, but they still got the victory. So it was one of those days at the office where they scored 4 runs. Like, every game you're not going to score 8 or 9 runs. 4 runs should be good enough for you to win a baseball game.
Oh, hey, the whole Vikes thing, and again, 1 week from tomorrow, the first preseason game, and I know you've got a special, tell me again the name of your pregame show? Purple Pre, isn't it?
Oh, Purple Pre. I was like, which pregame show are you talking about?
For the Vikings.
We're going to be doing multiple pregame shows here coming up soon because we're going to be kicking off. Here in just a week, we're gonna do a pregame show for the Twins. It'll be first pitch as opposed to final pitch. So we'll have first pitch, and then I'll be doing final pitch. So I got a little bit confused there with the what pregame show you're doing.
Yeah, this overlap with the Twins and the Vikes. It's a good problem to have though for sports fans. But
because we're winning right now.
Yeah. First pregame show. The first preseason Vikings game against the Saints is a week from tomorrow. Hard to believe. But hey, look, I was under the impression that we were still fixated on the O-line with the Vikings. And now it turns out that Coach Zimmer, not terribly impressed with the defense.
Well, I think that overall we're still fixated on the offensive line because that was the unit that has struggled the most in recent years. But, you know, Mike Zimmer being a defensive guy, he's someone that he expects his defenses to be at the top, you know, in the National Football League. And he feels like right now in just the weekend when it comes to training camp with Minnesota Viking football and the talented players that they have on the roster, he says we're not playing and performing at the level that we should. And he expects a lot out of that group. To me, when you talk about Viking football, the identity of Minnesota Viking football is still the defense. This still is a unit that's been together for a few years. They've got some talented guys on that side of the football. So that's still going to be the side of the football that has to get it done more Sundays than not.
Lake night, 9 o'clock, right? 9-1.
9 o'clock tonight. Yep.
Don't miss it.
Do you think that we'll take phone calls on the Twins and what happened today? I think so.
I think you will. I think you'll get some calls. Yes. Hey, thank you, Henry.
All right, take care.
Always a pleasure. Don Shelby is in the house. He's up next after the news.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.